really appreciate you being here. We've got a lovely, as we said earlier, Alan said that we've got a visitor's lounge in the front here. We've got a group of people that would love to meet with you. And so if you could just meet with us on that side, we'd love free cappuccinos. I call it ministry in a cup. It really is something special. Those cappuccinos are something special for the ladies from the coffee bar. Could you prepare to take up the offering this morning, those that are coming up? My hands are still cold. I was just telling someone earlier on that I think it's because I've got orangutan arms, that the blood kind of gets so long to get down there, let's just go back, and then you land up with cold hands. So, but let's prepare what we've prepared in our hearts to give. And we know, and we will say every week, that your giving doesn't determine whether you are blessed or cursed. You are forever blessed because of His Son. We are giving because we want to see what God is doing in our hearts continue for many people to come and see. I see little ones running around. I see little ones still to come around. I saw little pregnant moms walking around earlier. This is why we give, because those little ones are going to have a place to come into freedom and to an expression of grace and the fullness of what God has done for us. This is why we give, that many people can come in and benefit from this great blessing that we have freely received. We don't give to be blessed, we are blessed. Amen. So Lord, we thank you. We want to see many more people coming in to experience this good news, this gospel, that we are forever forgiven, we are forever in your favor. There is nothing we can do that can fall out of your favor because you love us so much. So Lord, we want to bless the finances. We speak life over the finances of this church. We want to speak life over those that steward the finances, to give them wisdom and to give them eyes to see where you're wanting your finances to go. For your glory, we give this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Well, God said in Malachi, He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Why did that scripture not say parents or mothers? Why did He say fathers? Why didn't that scripture say God's going to turn the hearts of the parents to their children? Do you know why? Because since the fall of man, the enemy has caused a faulty perception of our Father in heaven, and he has wrecked relationships with fathers here on earth. So you might be sitting there thinking, okay, here's another fathering sermon coming up, and so I can switch off because I'm a mom, or because I am, you know, like I've heard this all before. You know, let me say this to you now. This word this morning, and I'm going to get into why how I got here, is not just for dads. This word is for business owners, for leaders. This word is for fathers. This word is for single moms. Because I've had some moms coming to chat to me over the parenting course and saying, you know, like I'm a single mom and I'm really battling and I don't know what's going on with my kids. And so these four things I'm going to be sharing with you today are going to show you what that scripture in Malachi speaks about, because dads bring something special into a family. Now, what are those things? But we'll get there now. You see, last year my grand passed away, and my family were sitting down together and going through her room, just pulling out boxes of things that she had left behind, and a whole lot of photographs came out. And this can you put the first photograph up, Graham? This is one of the photographs that came up. You can see how well we did photographs in the good old days. We've got some blurry figure on the right-hand side and the big picture of the couch. But this photograph, as I looked at it, I thought, wow, that's weird. And so can we go to the next one, Graham? See, because that there, that little nonsense on the lap is me. And that's my dad. behind it, and I have had no recollection of this photograph whatsoever. I have no recollection of my dad ever holding me, sitting on his lap. I have no recollection of my dad wasn't around when I was growing up. So for me, this picture broke through so many layers of nonsense and went straight to my heart and quickly became a screensaver on absolutely everything I have that can be a screensaver. Because in this picture, you can see my eyes are puffy. I've been crying, it's like this morning, you can see. My dad's arms are around me. He's holding my hands. I'd found out after that I'd hurt my fingers, got caught in something, and so he's got a sincere look in his eyes of concern. And like my grand, just in taking pictures of the couch earlier, managed to catch something for me for when I'm 40 years old, and I sat there thinking, what is it about this thing that just made a 40-year-old man's heart just become nothing once again? And I started to think, you know, what if I had 24 hours with my dad of ideal time? What would I want to have from him? Because there are some of us here who have dads around still, some who don't have dads around. But if you could have your, can we take it? Oh, thanks, Grant. If you could have your father around for just 24 hours, and it can be as ideal time as you want it to be, what would you like to experience from him? Picture it. You've got 24 hours with him, and you can do whatever, you can experience whatever you want from him. What would you like to get out of that time? See, I want to pause you just for a little bit because we can race off into the four points in a poem and we can miss the reality of what God's wanting to do here. Because I've done this with a few guys already, and every single time I've come up with these four things that I'm going to get into the sermon. And these four things are pretty much universal from what people want to experience from their dads. So without going any further, let's get stuck straight into it. I want to be talking about sons in this context, but we're speaking about daughters as well. See, because as someone once said, you know, I want to be a bride of Christ for eternity, so when I make a mistake by saying sons all the time, I'm also including daughters as well. Okay? Okay. Thank you. The first thing that people want to experience from their dads, and this is going to seem obvious, it's going to seem the first thing, but this is the start of everything and this is the finish of everything, is love. Love. See, because the scriptures say our Father is love. He doesn't just have love, He is love. And fathering says this, it says, nothing you will ever do will change the way I feel about you. I love you for who you are and not what you do. That's what fathering says. Father's love. It says, nothing you can do can change the way I feel about you, but how many times have we grown up in life and felt, hey, you know what, if I just did this, it's going to change the way that my dad relates to me. Now, when I said that this isn't just for dads, I said this is for business owners, this is for single moms, this is for so many people, for leaders. When you are leading, when you're in an environment where you have influence over people, if people ever feel like they can do something and it can get them out of a place of where you change the way you relate to them, they're always going to feel some measure of distance between you and them. Love says, no matter what you do, I'm always going to relate to you because of who you are, not because of what you do. People say we need to see more fathering in the church. Let me say this, fathering isn't a process. It isn't something we should have a program and get it out together. Let's get fathering done in the church. Fathering is a true expression of love. Because if I love you, I can't help but want to pour my life out for you. If you love those that God has given you, leaders, you will, by any chance, by any means, pour out your life for them. People want to know that they're valuable to you because of who they are and not what they do. If they feel like their relationship with you is conditional to what they do, you will never have the heart of those that work for you, of those that serve with you, of those that are in your family. So the second thing that dads provide, and you might be feeling this, is dads provide opportunities. See, that picture that I had there, I had no idea. I knew my dad loved me, but I had no idea that my dad was going to live self-sacrificially in a small little flat in the harbor of East London so that I'd be able to have my school fees paid for, that I'd be able to have some measure of education, that I'd be able to have clothes, some opportunity in life to launch me from where I was into a place of where he was hoping I was going to become. Dads provide opportunities. Fathering opportunity says this: I will minimize my own desires and needs to see you being launched into the future of your happily ever after. That's what dads do. Dads say, I can go without that new shirt, that new pants, because I know come Father's Day, I'm going to get those socks I've always wanted. That tie, that hanky. Who still uses hankies? Don't put up your hands. But that's what dads do. Dads say, I'm going to put aside all my wants and things that I would like and am I entitled to all these things? Yes, I am, because I'm the primary breadwinner in my home. But I put that all aside because I want to see my family being launched into their happily ever after. So dads, see, if kids feel like they're in a mutually beneficial relationship, it allows them to feel insecure in who they are and their place in the family. When Brady grows up, I don't say, Brady, you know, when you get married, I'm going to have a little place for you down the bottom of the garden. We'll make a house, and you can pay me rent every month. We can have a mutually beneficial relationship here. And then I expect you to come around, and we'll come around to your place for some meals, and then you can come around to my place because it's mutually beneficial. Fathering doesn't live in a mutually beneficial environment. Fathering says, can I buy you a house? Can I give you a car? Can I pay for some of the wedding? Because weddings cost more than cars nowadays, but what can I do to see you be free? And it's not a mutually beneficial relationship. Is what can I do to help you? And you know what? There's so many people that run their businesses that run their as a leader say, no, hang on, we're good here as long as it's mutually beneficial. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying if someone just comes onto the bandwagon of your business and starts stealing from you, you're going to say, no, this is mutually. No, that's a different thing. They're saying, I actually don't want to be part of this family. I've got my own agenda. That's a different thing altogether. Where they're coming in, where they actually don't feel like, but where there's people that come into your life, into your business, into your environment, and they say, I want to co-labor with you. I want to get stuck in. I want to feel like I belong to something greater than myself. You're actually saying to them, if it becomes a mutually beneficial agreement, I'm actually not, you can be may have some measure of insecurity because I'm not entirely sold out for you. I'm not entirely sure that I want to see you being launched into your happily ever after. The third thing, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one than the other three, is affirmation and acceptance. They're one and the same. Fathering acceptance says this, that even when you fail at your worst, I still believe in you. You are always welcome in my presence. I believe in you. It says, I won't relate to you on your past failures, but on how I believe you will triumph in your future. It's gone very quiet in here. Are you guys all right? That's what dads do. When they provide acceptance and affirmation, they're saying, your past doesn't matter. I'm going to relate to you on how your future is. Because you know, my boys mess up regularly. It's like a little stopwatch. It goes, okay, it's time to mess up now. Boom, and then something goes wrong. But I don't relate to them on, you keep on making these mistakes. My acceptance of them and my affirmation of them is because I can see how they're going to be walking into their future. And in your future, you're going to blow minds. You're going to change circumstances. You're going to be world changers. And that's how I'm going to relate to you. I accept you. I affirm you on what you're going to become, not on who you are. Because mistakes are okay. We learn from them. So many times when these mistakes happen in the family, we're quick to stomp it out. I'll have none of that in my house. We'll have no mistakes. Dad, guess what? You just made a mistake. Because mistakes happen. I often wonder if I dish out punishment because of mistakes, would I be able to take it from my family too if I made a mistake, if I get caught out making a mistake? Changes the way I deal with mistakes in my home. See, this is very important because of one thing. God affirmed his son publicly before he even did a single thing. Hey, imagine that. You haven't done a single thing and God's saying, my boy, you rock. This is my son with whom I am well pleased. He didn't do a single thing. God was relating to him on who he was, not on what he did. Our Father in heaven speaking to his son Jesus saying, you rock my world. He was affirming him. See, I'm proud of my boys. I really am. I am well pleased by them. I'm not well pleased because of them. If we're only proud of our family, of our kids, our daughters, our sons, our employees, our co-workers, whatever, if we're only accepting and affirming them when they do things well, we're setting ourselves up for failure, because somewhere along the line, somebody's going to drop a ball and you're going to change the way you relate to them. What does it say to your kids, to your employees, if your voice is heard more for caution, for disciplining versus affirmation? Hey, Kale, I want you to color inside the lines. This picture's atrocious. This, you know, you could work it a little bit better if you just, careful, don't go outside the lines, versus that is outstanding. Well done. Proud of you. If you're in your business environment, when you say to your colleague or you think you're affirming them by saying, you know what? That is not a bad idea. Can I tell you something? That is not a bad idea is not affirmation. That is a good idea. That's affirmation. We don't want to commit too much, especially in Durban. We don't want to be seen like we're putting too much out there, you know, because we might get our hearts clipped a little bit. It's okay to say that's a good idea. You see, we come up with these little things that make us try and guard our hearts. In actual fact, we're not doing ourselves or our friends any justice. You did well, but next time, don't you want to change a few things? That's not an affirmation as well. See, because there's going to be plenty of times to look back and to see how we can improve things. But at that point, what you need to hear is, you rock. You're amazing. You did so well. Proud of you. See, people in businesses, they tend to get into this thing of, okay, it's a good season to affirm people. So we're going to honor people. We're going to speak well over them. We're going to, you know, affirm them. And people will pick up on that as insincere. Because you get this new policy. These are our business values. These are the values of our family. We affirm people. And that'll last for about a couple of months and then it'll fade away. But people pick it up for what it is, insincere. And so if you aren't that kind of person that affirms people and says, well done, start with something as sincere as it can be, even if it's just a little smile. People pick up on that smile and say, yes, I know what's going on in there. He schmarks me. You know the story of the prodigal son? Luke 15, I'm going to read it to you. Don't turn there. It says, he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You see, the son went back to his father because he knew his dad was loving. He knew his dad was going to give him all the things that he needed to get back into his happily ever after. But the one thing that he did not know was whether his father was going to accept him, whether his father was going to affirm him. That's why he prepared the speech. Let me say it again. If the prodigal son, because I don't think you guys got it, if the prodigal son had known that his father was going to accept him and affirm him, he would never have prepared a speech. I've done a few funerals in my lifetime. The one thing that I hear lots of at funerals when people give time to share is love and affirmation. And they speak so beautifully at times where people have moved on. But the primary person who should be benefiting from those words the most is unable to hear them. And we always leave our choicest words for people to affirm them and to love them for when it's too late for them to be the beneficiaries of that. And I encourage people, I say, you know what, don't leave it till tomorrow or the next month or the next financial year before you start to make some changes in the way that you see people, because you can't affirm people past a place or accept people past a place of what you relate to them yourselves. Change the way you see people, those that are around you. See, because you can come up with a brotherly love for them, but God wants to bring in an agape love that you will see them with his eyes, and you cannot help but affirm and love them in that manner. You see, you won't belittle yourself when you affirm someone. You'll raise them up to your level. My boys are going to grow bigger than me. I know you might not think it's ever possible, but it will be a case. They're going to grow bigger than me. They're going to grow cleverer than me. They're going to far outstrip me, but what they want to hear from me is, Dad, do you think I rock? Do you think I am going to make it? Do you think I've got the stuff? They're not looking to anyone else who's highly qualified, who's bigger, who's stronger, who's all those things. They want to hear it from me. Dad, am I going to make this world change? I hold those keys, and when I raise them up to my level, I say, off you go. Rock and roll. Make it happen. The fourth thing is security. Fathering says, nothing is going to harm you or derail you from getting everything that life has to offer. You see, these four things, love, acceptance, affirmation, opportunities, and security, were the four things that pretty much everyone, when you thought, what am I going to experience from my dad? What would I like to experience? One of those things or more of those things would have popped up. And in that photograph, these are the four things that spoke to me. That photograph of me on my dad's lap, those are the four things that jumped out at me saying, wow, I didn't in that moment feel like anything could harm me. I was absolutely secure. I could feel safe. I could feel at rest. I could feel at peace. See, when Adam fell, he didn't want to be in the presence of his father. You could say, look, it might have been the consequences that Adam was a bit anxious about. But think about it. In the garden, there was no death. Everything was life. So when God said, you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Die? Die? What is that? Never heard of it before. In the garden, there was only life. So when God says, you eat of this, you'll surely die. It's like saying, if I came to you and said, Alan, tomorrow morning, surely gingabalba. And you're going, okay, whatever gingabalba is. I don't know what gingabalba is. But tomorrow, and I'm telling you, tomorrow, I'm gingabalba. It's Greek. It's I don't know what that is. What is da? So you could say it could be the consequence. I think I don't know too much. I don't think so. I think what happened was when he took of something that he was told not to for his own benefit, he lost that measure of safety and security. And so when he knows that his dad's out looking for him, he hides because he is not sure. The enemy that he'd opened up that door for Adam to walk into of insecurity. That's what this word was this morning, about being anxious and putting off those things and coming back into a place of feeling safe in our Father's house. Notice, before you start rushing off saying, right, Jimmy, I've got it. Four things I've got to sort out today. Tick, 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 tick. I'm going to sort them out, get them sorted. I'm going to call my son, tell him I love him. I'm going to tell my daughter that she's a rock star. I'm going to tell everyone. Whoa, let's put the handbrake up. Put the handbrake right up. See, that scripture that I opened up with in Malachi said that he is turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he is turning the hearts of the children to their fathers. He is doing the work. We can rest in that. You see, we cannot give out what we don't have. If I said to you, Steve Joubert, could you please organize for me a signature? I'd like to go and meet Nelson Mandela. I'd like to get him to autograph something. I'd just like to tell him that I love and appreciate what he's done for us. You'd go, I'd love to, but I don't have that within my means to do that for you. If I said, Dave, could you organize me a BMW? Well, I mean, no, that is within your means. I'm joking. Could you organize for me the Zimbali estate? You'd say, Jimmy, I'd love to, but I just don't have that within the powers, within my means to be able to give it to you. And we cannot give out what we do not have. So the handbrake is up clearly because you're thinking, I need to do these and get these four things in my life sorted. No. Come back. Receive first, because the word says that we are to come into his kingdom as children, as sons, as daughters first, because we're at that place. He lifts us up. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, the children to their fathers. He does the work. So let's go back to those four same things. And let's say, while we're putting the handbrake up, go, what about those four things that do you want to minister into me? Firstly, number one, remember love? Nothing you will ever do will change the way I feel about you. I love you for who you are, not what you do. That is the way our Father relates to us. Do you know that God doesn't love you more now that you've become a Christian? I can see I'm going to have to repeat a few things today. God doesn't love you more now that you're a Christian. See, because John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that even while we were at enmity with him, even while we were enemies with God, he so loved you. He doesn't go like, yeah, I loved you, but now you're a Christian. He so loves you because of who you are, not what you do. You're going to believe it sometime. For God so loved us. It says that God is love. He doesn't just have a measure of love or increases or decreases. He is love. So when he loved you as a sinner, he can't love you any less or any more. He loves you. Number two, the opportunities. Dad's opportunities is I will minimize my own desires, my own needs to see you being launched into your happily ever after. Jesus said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken from me. See, we know God loved his son so much. If he took that cup away from Jesus, there would be no happily ever after for you and me. Our dad provided opportunities for our happily ever after. He loved his son so much, it was his desire to take that cup from Jesus, to not watch his son go through so much suffering and pain. That was what he wanted, that's what he desired. But as our father, he said, no. I'm putting aside my own desires and wants because I want to see you be launched into your happily ever after. And if he didn't withhold his one and only son, the scriptures say, how much more would he not freely give us all things? Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The scripture in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, because he knew when he gave that gift, there would be nothing that would stand in our way anymore. Now, Psalm 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, 2 Peter says, his divine power has given us everything. Say everything. Everything we need for life and godliness. His Spirit lives and breathes in us. There is no better place for him to dwell in the whole of the known and unknown universe and galaxy. There is no more beautiful a place for him to spend time with than right here in you. We are no longer disqualified because of what Jesus did. We are no longer disqualified from every opportunity that will come our way. That's our Father giving us opportunities. Number three, acceptance and affirmation. When you fail at your worst, I still believe in you. You're always welcome in my presence. See, we are in Christ Jesus. That's what the scripture says. When God says, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased, because we are in him, God would have had to reject his own Son for him to be upset with us. Let me say that again. Because we are in Christ Jesus, he is well pleased with Jesus. He is well pleased with him. We are in him. In order for him to be displeased with us, he would have to be displeased with Jesus. And that's never going to happen. He is so, pardon the colloquialism, stoked with you. He's so happy. He is so chuffed. He is so proud. He is so well pleased. He is so all of these things with you all the time. Because you are in him and he is in you. And you make him well pleased. There is nothing that you could do that can make God reject you. We are in Christ Jesus. You know, he believes in you. He stands in us, talking to us, and says, as the obstacles, as the things come our way, I believe in you. I know you can. He's our dad. He's cheering us on from the inside. You can do this thing. I believe in you. There is nothing that's going to come your way that you can't surmount, get over, conquer. You are more than conquerors. See, sometimes we get things of life, we have to come here and hear these over and over again before we believe it. And we say, I'm settling this. My dad thinks I'm a rocket scientist. I'm going to change the world. And you are. The fourth thing that our Father in heaven brings us is security. Nothing is going to harm you or derail you from getting everything that life has to offer. Romans says this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? 1 Corinthians says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But, don't you like it when people put buts in the right places? It's not, look, there's a silver lining, and someone goes, yeah, but the dark cloud. You know, every time you try and give them something measure of hope, there's yeah, but. But the scriptures always have their buts in the right places. Look at this. But, talking about death, where death is your victory. But, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, the scriptures say there are angels encamped around us. It says that he is for us, not against us. It says that that death has lost its, there is no victory in it anymore. It's lost its effect. We are now eternally secure. There is nothing we can say, well, what about death? What about it? What about it? I just see opportunities to go and hang out with people that have moved on. I can go and chat to my great-great-great-granddad. I can go hang out with people that I've never had an opportunity to meet. I can go and meet people that haven't been born yet. Hey, there's going to be rock stars in the future that haven't been on earth yet that I'll have an opportunity to go and meet and hang out with them in a twinkling of an eye. in His presence, fullness of joy. Where can you find more security than death being led captive by the Son? Steve sends his love. He says he's ministering. The gospel's changing lives. He says it's been, the worship team has been phenomenal. He's been loving time spent there. He looks forward to getting back soon. And I want to encourage you. We've got Rob coming up next week. We've got next week Sunday morning to make an opportunity to get here. We've got the Glory and Grace Conference that's coming up in the next couple of next week to make an opportunity to register, because this is what you're going to be ministered to. The fullness of the love of God, the security that He brings, the affirmation that the gospel brings into our hearts, the opportunities that God wants to present to us, all comes through these words. But before we run away, before we get sidetracked into the things that are going to distract us, I want to give people an opportunity to respond, because this gospel speaks about a love that surpasses all understanding, because it brings peace. And if you have never responded and said, I want to let God come in and transform me from the inside out, I want to make an opportunity for you to respond this morning. And if we could just close our eyes. Father, you are our dad. You are, this morning, hopefully, the enemy's lies of deceit, of representing you in a false light. Hopefully this morning we get to see you for who you really are. We thank you for your presence this morning. But Lord, we want to stand with those that are making an opportunity to respond, to saying, I want to be part of that family in heaven. I want to be part of your family. You're our Father. We have so much to be thankful for, Lord. We want to thank you for your love. Because if you didn't first love us, there was no way we were able to love you back. We had nothing to return back to you. Because you first loved us, we are able to respond. Because you provided opportunities for us, we are able to be more than conquerors. Because you've given us security, we can rest, knowing that nothing the enemy was going to throw our way can harm us. If you've never responded to the love of God, would you just raise your hand? Because the scriptures say we become believers by believing. You don't even have to say a prayer. You don't even have to come up to the front. You don't have to do a single thing. But for me, I want to pray for you specifically. So if you could raise your hand and I can pray for you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. If you believe that your dad is that good, if you believe the scriptures that say he is that loving, scriptures say you are completely made new. The love of God will come in and change your heart from that of stone to that of flesh. So Lord, for those beautiful people that have just responded, I thank you, Lord, for them. We speak the love of you into their hearts and into their minds. Thank you that your word says that they are completely made new. They're not upgraded. Even though they might feel the same, they are the same person, but with a brand new spirit. Brand new creation, you say. So we speak life. We speak happily ever after. We speak opportunities. We speak security. We speak love over them. We bless them, Lord. preaching a word like this wouldn't be fair for dads to have an opportunity to be ministered to. Because I'm very aware of my own weaknesses as a father, of my own mess-ups. And having something like this come and minister into my heart, I also want to have an opportunity to say, Father, Holy Spirit, help me become the father. Help me become a single mom. Maybe you feel like your kids aren't are wobbling in your family. Maybe it's because of some of these things. And maybe they're feeling insecure. Maybe they're not feeling loved. Maybe they don't feel like there's opportunities available to them. Whatever it might be. Maybe you're feeling like you just want to be touched by the Father. You're a son and daughter, and you've had great parents, but you just want to be touched again by the Father. Just lift up your hands to receive, because I have nothing to give you but the Spirit of God. He has everything, everything to bless you. So I lift up my hands, Lord, because I want to receive from you the fullness of your love, the full revelation of the opportunities that you've presented, the full revelation of how secure you have made me to be, and the full revelation of how you accept and affirm me. You are turning the hearts of the fathers to their children. And of the children, we your children to you. We speak life over our families. We speak life over the businesses. We speak life over leaders. We speak life over this church. In Jesus' name. Amen. Finish off on this one thing. Scripture said about the Father relating to Jesus, and I'm speaking this over you. You are His son and daughter, with whom he is well pleased. Bless you. Enjoy the morning, rest of the coffee bar and everything else, and we'll see you next week.